Chapter 39. Those Who Fight.
"You cannot fathom it, can you?" Rand demanded of the darkness. "It is beyond you. You break us and still we fight. Why? Haven't you killed us? Haven't you ruined us?"
"You," the Dark One replied. "I have you."
Rand stepped forward. In this place of nothing, the pattern seemed to swirl around him like a tapestry.
"Here is your flaw, Shaitan, Lord of the Dark, Lord of Envy, Lord of Nothing. Here is why you fail. It was not about me. It's never been about me."
It was about a woman, torn and beaten down, cast from her throne and made a puppet. A woman who had crawled when she had to. That woman still fought. It was about a man that love repeatedly forsook, a man who found relevance in a world that others would have let pass them by, a man who remembered stories and who took fool boys under his wing when the smarter move would have been to keep on walking. That man still fought. It was about a woman with a secret, a hope for the future, a woman who had hunted the truth before others could, a woman who had given her life, then had it returned. That woman still fought. It was about a man whose family was taken from him, but who stood tall in his sorrow and protected those he could. It was about a woman who refused to believe that she could not help, could not heal those who had been harmed. It was about a hero who insisted with every breath that he was anything but a hero. It was about a woman who would not bend her back while she was beaten, and who shone with the light for all who watched, including Rand. It was about them all. He saw this over and over in the pattern arrayed about him. Rand walked through eons and ages, his hand passing through ribbons of the pattern's light.
"Here is the truth, Shaitan," Rand said, taking another step forward, arms out, woven patterns spreading around them. "You cannot win unless we give up. That's it, isn't it? This fight isn't about a victory in battle. Taking me, it was never about beating me. It was about breaking me. That's what you've tried to do with all of us. It's why at times you tried to have us killed, while other times you didn't seem to care. You win when you break us. But you haven't. You can't."
The darkness trembled. The nothingness shook, as if the arches of the heavens themselves were cracking. The Dark One's shout was defiant. Within the void, Rand continued forward, and the darkness trembled.
"I can still kill," the Dark One bellowed. "I can still take them all. I am Lord of the Grave, the Battle Lord. He is mine. All are mine, eventually."
Rand stepped forward, hand stretched out. In his palm sat the world, and upon that world a continent, and upon that continent a battlefield. And upon that battlefield, two bodies on the ground. Matt fought, Tam at his side with sword out. Kareed and the Death Watch Guard joined them. Then Loyal and the Ogier. The armies of a dozen nations and people fought, many joining him as he rushed across the plateau. They were outnumbered 3-1. Matt fought, bellowing in the old tongue.
"For the light! For honor! For glory! For life itself!"
He slew one Trolloc, then another. Half a dozen in moments, but he felt he was fighting with the surf itself. Wherever he struck down blackness, more took its place. Trollocs moving in the shadows, lit only by the occasional lantern or burning arrow stuck in the ground. The Trollocs didn't fight as one.
"We can break them," Matt thought. "We have to break them."
This was his chance. Push now, while the Sharans were dazed at Demendred's fall.
"The Son of Battles. I will take him. I will take them all, adversary. As I took the King of Nothing."
Blood and bloody ashes. What was that nothingness in his head?
Matt beheaded a Trolloc, then wiped his brow, Kareed and the Death Watch guards covering him for a moment. Matt could feel the battlefield in the night. There were a lot of Trollocs and Sharans, so many of them.
"There are too many,"
Arganda called from nearby.
"Light, they'll overwhelm us. We need to fall back. Cawthon, can you hear me?"
"I can do this," Matt thought. "I can win this battle." An army could defeat superior numbers, but Matt needed momentum, an opening, a favorable toss of the dice. Rand stood above the pattern and looked down at the fallen men in a land where hope seemed to have died. "You have not been watching closely enough. About one thing, you are wrong. So very wrong." Cornered and alone, a boy huddled in a cleft in the rock. Horrors with knives and fangs, the shadow itself made flesh, dug at his hiding place, reaching with nails like knives and ripping his skin. Terrified, crying, bloodied, the boy raised a golden horn to his lips. Matt squinted, the battle seeming to dim around him. "So very wrong, Shaitan," Rand's voice whispered in Matt's mind. Then the voice was no longer in Matt's mind. It could be heard distinctly by everyone on the battlefield. "That one you have tried to kill many times," Rand said. "That one who lost his kingdom. That one from whom you took everything." Lurching, bloodied from the sword strike to his side, the last king of the Malkieri stumbled to his feet. Lan thrust his hand into the air, holding by its hair the head of Demandred, general of the Shadow's armies.
"That man," Rand shouted, "that man still fights."
Matt felt the battlefield grow still. All were frozen in place. At that moment, there rang out a soft but powerful sound, a clear note, golden. One long tone that encompassed everything. The sound of a horn, pure and beautiful. Matt had heard that sound once before.
Melar knelt beside Elaine, pressing the medallion against her head to stop her from channeling. "This could have gone in a very different way, my queen," he said. "You should have been more accommodating." Light, that leer was an awful thing. He had gagged her, of course, but she did not give him the satisfaction of crying. She would find a way to escape this. She had to shake free of the medallion. Of course, if she did, there was still the channeler. But if she could evade the medallion, then strike quickly. "Pity that your little captain general isn't alive to watch," Melar said. "Fool that she was. I really do think she believed that she was Birgitta from the legends." Elaine heard a soft sound in the distance. The ground vibrated. An earthquake. She tried to concentrate, but she could only think that Birgitta had been right all along. It was fully possible for the babes to be safe, as Min had foretold, while Elaine herself was left dead. White mist climbed up from the ground around them, like the souls of the dead, curling. Melar stiffened suddenly. Elaine blinked, looking up at him. Something silvery jutted from the front of Melar's chest. It looked like an arrowhead. Melar turned, knife dropping from his fingers. Behind him, Birgitta Silverbow stood over her corpse, one foot to either side of the headless body. She raised a bow, bright as newly polished silver, and released another arrow, which seemed to trail light as it struck Melar in the head and pitched him to the ground. Her next shot took Melar's channeler, killing the dreadlord with a silver arrow before the man could respond. All around them, Melar's men stood as if paralyzed, gaping at Birgitta. The clothing she now wore seemed to glow. A short white coat, a voluminous pair of pale yellow trousers and a dark cloak. Her long golden hair hung in an intricate braid, down to her waist. "I am Birgitta Silverbow," Birgitta announced, as if to dispel doubt. The horn of Valir has sounded, calling all to the last battle. The heroes have returned.
Landman Dragorin held aloft the head of one of the Forsaken, their battle commander, supposedly invincible. The Shadow's army could not ignore what had happened. None of them, wherever they were on the battlefield. The voice that had come out of nowhere had proclaimed it. That the attacker should stand while the Chosen lay dead, it stunned them, frightened them. And then the horn sounded in the distance.
"Press forward!"
Matt yelled.
"Press forward!"
His army threw themselves ferociously onto the Trollocs and Sharans.
"Cawthon, what was that sound?"
Arganda demanded, stumbling up beside Pips. The man still had one arm in a sling and carried a bloodied mace in the other hand. Around Matt, the Death Watch guard fought and grunted, cutting down Trollocs. Matt yelled, throwing himself into the fight.
"That was the bloody horn of Valir! We can still win this night!"
The horn. How had the bloody horn been sounded? Well, it looked like Matt wasn't tied to the thing any longer. His death at Roydion must have broken him from it. Some other unlucky fool could bear that burden now. Matt howled a battle cry, shearing the arm off a Trolloc, then stabbing it through the chest. The Shadow's entire army became disoriented at the sound of the horn. Those Trollocs nearest Lan scrambled back, clawing over one another in desperate urgency to escape him. That left the Trollocs fighting along the slope spread thin, without reserves, and nobody seemed to be in charge. Murdrol nearby raised swords against their own Trollocs, trying to get those that were fleeing to turn back and fight. But flaming arrows, shot by the Two Rivers archers, fell from the sky and riddled the Fade's bodies. "Tamal Thor," Matt thought, "I am going to bloody send you the best pair of boots. Light burn me, but I will."
"To me!" Matt shouted. "All riders that can hold a flaming weapon, to me!"
Matt kicked Pips into a gallop, shoving his way through Trollocs that were still fighting. Matt's attack opened the way for Furic Kareed and his few remaining men to punch the hole in the horde of Trollocs wider. Following that, the full force of the remaining Borderlanders poured through after Matt toward Lan. The Sharan army showed signs of weakening, but they continued their offensive, their discipline forcing them to do what their hearts were calling them to end. Lan's victory wouldn't win the battle outright. There were far too many enemies. But without Demandred, the Shadow had lost direction. Even the Fades were showing the lack of a leader. The Trollocs began to fall back and regroup. Matt and the Borderlanders galloped southwest across the heights and came to where Lan was standing. Matt jumped from his horse and grabbed Lan by the shoulder as the Melchiori King faltered. Lan looked at Matt with grim thanks, and then his eyes rolled back in his head and he started to fall, dropping Demandred's head to the ground. A man in a black coat rode over. Matt hadn't realized that Narishma was still there, fighting alongside the Borderlanders. The Kandori Ashaman threw himself off his horse and took Lan by the other arm, then concentrated. The brief healing was enough to bring Lan back to consciousness.
"Get him on a horse, Narishma," Matt said. "You can work on him more when we get back to our army. I don't want to be stuck behind enemy lines if those Trollocs below decide to come back up the heights."
They rode back northeast, laying into the back of the Trolloc's right flank with swords and lances as they swept past, which unsettled the beasts even more. Once past, the Borderlanders swung their mounts around and charged directly into the Trolloc hordes again, who were looking around in all directions, not sure where the next attack would be coming from. Matt and Narishma continued to ride toward their own back lines, with Lan in tow. Narishma eased the Melchiori off his horse, and had him lie on the ground to continue the healing, while Matt paused to consider their situation. Behind them, mist gathered. Matt was struck with a terrible thought. He had ignored a terrible possibility. The Horn of Valir still called, a distant yet unmistakable sound. "Oh, light," Matt thought. "Oh, bloody stumps on a battlefield! Who blew it? Which side?" The fog formed, like worms crawling out of the ground after a rainstorm. It gathered into a billowing cloud, a thunderhead on the ground, and shapes on horses charged out of it. figures of legend. Buad, of Albhain, as regal as any queen. Amoresu, holding aloft her glowing sword. Hend, the striker, dark-skinned, a hammer in one hand and a spike in the other. A figure rode through the mists at the front of the heroes. Tall and imperious, with a nose like a beak, Artur Hawkwing carried justice, his sword on his shoulder as he rode. Though the rest of the 100-odd heroes followed Hawkwing, one broke off in a streak of mist, galloping away. Matt didn't get a good look at the rider. Who had it been, and where was he going so quickly? Matt pulled his hat on tighter, nudging Pips forward to meet the ancient king. I suppose I'll know which side summoned him, Matt thought, if he tries to kill me. Matt lifted the Ashandarai across his saddle. Could he fight Artur Hawkwing? Light could anyone beat one of the heroes of the horn. Hello, Hawkwing, Matt called.
Gambler, Hawkwing replied. Do take better care of what has been allotted you. Almost I worried we would not be summoned for this fight.
Matt let out a relaxing breath.
Bloody ashes, Hawkwing. You needn't have drawn it out like that, you bloody goat-kisser. So you fight for us?
Of course we fight for the light, Hawkwing said. We would never fight for the shadow.
But I was told, Matt began.
You were told wrong, Hawkwing said. Besides, Hend said, laughing, if the other side had been able to summon us, you'd be dead by now.
I did die, Matt said, rubbing at the scar on his neck. Apparently that tree claimed me.
Not the tree, gambler, Hawkwing said. Another moment, one that you cannot remember. It is fitting, as Luz Theron did save your life both times.
Remember him, Amoresu snapped. I have seen you murmur that you fear his madness, but all the while you forget that every breath you breathe, every step you take, comes at his forbearance. Your life is a gift from the dragon reborn, gambler, twice over.
Blood and bloody ashes. Even dead women treated him the way Nynaeve did. Where did they learn it? Were there secret lessons?
Hawkwing nodded toward something nearby. Rand's banner. Danil still held it aloft.
We arrive here together at the banner. We can fight for you because of it, gambler, and because the dragon leads you, though he does it from afar. It is enough.
Well, Matt said, looking at the banner, I guess since you're here, you can fight the battle now. I'll pull my men back.
Hawkwing laughed.
You think we 100 can fight this entire battle?
You're the bloody heroes of the horn, Matt said. That's what you do, isn't it?
We can be defeated,
said pretty Blaze of Matuchin, dancing her horse to the side of Hawkwing's. Tuon couldn't be mad if he looked a little at a hero, right? People were supposed to stare at them.
If we are wounded in dire ways, we will have to withdraw and recover in the world of dreams.
The shadow knows how to incapacitate us, Hend added. Bind us hand and foot, and we can do nothing to aid the battle. It doesn't matter if one is immortal when one cannot move. We can fight well, Hawkwing said to Matt, and we will lend you our strength. This is not our war alone. We are just one part of it.
Bloody wonderful, Matt said. That horn was still sounding. Then tell me this. If I didn't blow that thing, and the shadow didn't do it, who did?
Thick Trolloc nails scored Alvar's arm. He kept blowing the horn through his tears, eyes squeezed shut in the small cleft in the rocky outcrop.
I'm sorry, Matt, he thought as a dark-haired hand scrabbled for a hold on the horn.
Another grabbed him by the shoulder, nails digging deeply, making blood pulse down his arm. The horn was ripped from his hands.
I'm sorry.
The Trolloc yanked Alvar upward, then dropped him. Alvar tumbled to the ground, dazed, and then jumped as the horn fell into his lap. He grabbed it, shaking and blinking away his tears. Shadows churned above, grunting. What was happening? cautiously Ulver raised his head and found someone standing above, one foot planted on either side of him. The figure fought in a blur, facing down a dozen Trollocs at once, his staff whirling this way and that as he defended the boy. Ulver caught sight of the man's face and his breath caught.
Noel?
Noel clubbed a Trolloc arm, forcing the creature back, then glanced at Ulver and smiled. Though Noel still appeared aged, the weariness was gone from his eyes, as if a great burden had been lifted from him. A white horse stood nearby with a golden saddle and reins, the most magnificent animal that Ulver had ever seen.
"Noel! They said you died!"
Ulver cried.
"I did,"
Noel said, then laughed.
"The pattern was not finished with me, son. Sound that horn! Sound it proudly, horn sounder!"
Ulver did so, blowing the horn as Noel fought the Trollocs back in a small circle around Ulver. Noel. Noel was one of the heroes of the horn. The hooves of galloping horses announced others, come to rescue Ulver from the Shadow Spawn. Suddenly, Ulver felt a deep warmth. He had lost so many people. But one of them, one, had come back for him.